Chapter 23. What now? In this chapter, what's missing? The nature of time. The status of quantum theory. The eternal mystery. String theory, loop gravity, and the other theories I've talked about are all still works in progress. Even their staunchest proponents think they're missing something. But what? And how will physicists suss it out? Idea swapping, sophisticated experiments, and philosophical reflection will all lend a hand. Something's missing. Our fingers can pick up things ranging from a grain of sand to a heavy suitcase. Our eyes can see objects ranging in color from red to violet. Our ears can hear sounds ranging in pitch from the buzz of a fluorescent light to the whine of a mosquito, and in volume from the heartbeat of a squirrel to the exquisite musicality of a Ramones concert. But the world goes far beyond what we can directly perceive. To paraphrase Victor Hugo, science is the microscope of thought. It lets us see what we couldn't otherwise. Through it, we see that a chair is mostly empty space, and that our bodies glow with the brilliance of a 100-watt light bulb. Each level of explanation turns up the magnification a bit more. A quantum theory of gravity goes all the way. Through it, we might see space bubbling like beer head and other universes lying parallel to our own. Such a theory might even be the theory of everything, as is the ambition of string theory, though not so much of the other approaches. The phrase is somewhat deceptive. A theory of everything wouldn't be the theory of absolutely everything. It wouldn't answer whether we are alone in the universe or why people seem so oblivious to their own incompetence. But it would make sense of other strange aspects of the world, such as why matter exists at all. Although I've focused on grand goals because they're so exciting, the day-in, day-out progress of science is driven more by little victories. The view from the summit won't sustain a mountain climber who doesn't like the climb itself. Discoveries in science are relatively rare. The pride of gradual mastery keeps us going in the meantime. Even those theories that don't pan out won't have been a waste. They have opened our minds to new ideas and inspired whole new branches of mathematics. Given the challenges, it's no surprise that scientists aren't there yet. String theorists readily admit that their field has developed piecemeal and that they don't know what physical principles underlie the theory. The other approaches may have clearer conceptual underpinnings but remain equally mysterious and incomplete. They might well all be wrong. In the loop. I believe there is something basic we are all missing, some wrong assumption we are all making. If string theory or loop quantum gravity by themselves were the answer, we would know it by now. They may be starting points, they may be parts of the answer, they may contain necessary lessons, but the right theory must contain new elements. Lee Smolin, Perimeter Institute. Finishing off the job won't be just a matter of solving some more equations and filling in the details. If it were that easy, it'd be done by now. It will require some new conceptual input. The missing pieces may already be out there, scattered among the various alternative approaches, like diamonds in the rough, awaiting an Einstein or a Darwin to pull them together. In this regard, it's interesting that the pros and cons of the various approaches to quantum gravity are so complementary. String theory doesn't handle space-time as fluidly as loop gravity does. Loop gravity doesn't connect as well as string theory does to the observable aspects of space-time and particles. Some physicists think that each approach may have something to learn from the others. It may also take some entirely new idea, or the recognition that some old idea is subtly flawed. Two places to go hunting for ideas are the nature of time and the status of quantum theory. What is time? Theories of physics have always had trouble with time. General relativity suggests the world should be playing a giant game of freeze, where nothing moves or changes. Quantum theory requires a fixed time standard that immutable space-time can't provide. These conceptual skeletons in the closet don't affect the day-to-day use of the theories, but come tumbling out when physicists try to merge them. Although Einstein united time with space, that doesn't mean time is the same as space. You can climb a mountain or a tower and see the landscape laid out before you, but you can't climb the temporal equivalent of a mountain or tower and see the future and the past laid before you. You can visit the place of your first kiss as often as you like, but you can visit the moment only once. Time is special. It brings order to the world. Like those psychological tests that ask you to arrange a series of pictures to tell a coherent story, time turns a grab bag of points into a structured sequence of cause and effect. Without time, there might still be things sitting in space, but there'd be no stories. In the loop. The lack of a proper understanding of time seems to be one of the chief impediments to developing a quantum theory of gravity. William Unruh, University of British Columbia. The possibility of time machines is an example of how nature bows down before time. Whenever a time machine seems on the verge of forming, some process intervenes to stop it. And the process that gets in the way varies from situation to situation. It's as though the whole world were acting as time's bodyguards, taking a bullet whenever something threatens the order that time creates. Physicists routinely imagine universes with fewer or more dimensions of space, but they find it hard to do without time. All the proposed quantum theories of gravity accord time a special status. String theory predicts that the collision of two strings is spread out over space, but always occurs at a specific time. Loop gravity, Bucky space, and causal set theory distinguish between space and time from the outset. Seen another way, though, time seems so gratuitous. The laws of physics are deterministic. Everything that happens, happens for a reason. That's true even for quantum theory, although its determinism hides behind a layer of randomness for reasons that physicists still don't understand. If all events are preordained by the laws of physics, their actual occurrence seems a mere formality. The universe plays itself out as a set piece. Attempts to unify physics often call determinism into doubt, but violating determinism means violating much else besides. Like the distinction between cause and effect, determinism seems deeply embedded in the structure of the world. This is just the start of time's mysteries. Is time a product of deeper building blocks? If so, then as time emerges, does the arrow of time, the fact that it seems to flow in one direction only, emerge with it? Could there be places where it flows the other way, as in the movie Memento or the novel Time's Arrow? A quantum theory of gravity may help solve these questions. Conversely, developing the theory may require physicists to think more deeply about these questions. Why the quantum? All the leading approaches to quantum gravity truly are quantum gravity. They take the laws of quantum theory as they are. Those laws are puzzling, but they work. Physicists studying string theory, loop gravity, and the others have never faced a need to abandon or tweak quantum theory. Most are content to leave the conceptual footings of quantum theory to other researchers who, for their part, rely more on tabletop experiments than on contemplating gravity. Some physicists, though, think that quantum gravity will transform quantum theory as surely as it does general relativity. Standard quantum theory assumes an unwarped, static, continuous space-time, and might well work differently in a warped, dynamic, or chopped-up one. Broadly speaking, there are three possible outcomes. Quantum theory holds in its present form, all the way down to the roots of nature, as most physicists now assume. Quantum theory holds, but many of its features are specific to the placid, suburban cul-de-sac space-time we occupy. Quantum theory emerges from a deeper theory, maybe hand-in-hand with space-time itself. The third option is the most speculative. Physicists taking this route note that quantum theory looks suspiciously like it's hiding something. It says we can't measure all of a particle's traditional properties, such as both its precise position and its precise velocity. In the standard interpretation of the theory, particles don't even possess these properties until we measure them, or some equivalent process occurs. Well, why not? maybe particles do possess such properties, and quantum theory just isn't capable of capturing them. A deeper theory could fill in the blanks. Physicists call the properties of such an underlying theory hidden variables. In the loop. Could quantum theory itself be an emergent, effective theory? Many have thought so. Extending quantum mechanics until it breaks could be one route to finding out. James Hartle, University of California, Santa Barbara. According to the best-known hidden variables theory, called Bohmian mechanics after one of its originators, the quantum wave is a kind of force field herding a particle like a sheepdog. Definition: hidden variables are quantities that are part of putative theory underlying quantum theory. Bohmian mechanics is a version of basic quantum theory in which particles have definite positions. Quantum randomness isn't intrinsic to particles, but instead reflects our ignorance about them. The particle itself behaves completely predictably, but we don't know where it started, so we can't be sure where it'll end up. A bunch of particles that appear to start in the same place with the same velocity actually have a spread of positions and speeds, so they wind up in various places, seemingly at random. Quantum uncertainty reflects our ignorance rather than some built-in element of chance. It's like shuffling a deck of cards, which isn't truly random, but merely very complicated and hard to track. Early in cosmic history, particles may have been arranged in a more orderly and predictable way, like an unshuffled deck. Since then, they have scrambled themselves. What happened resembled heat death. The concept that the universe is running down as its energy dissipates and its molecules become thoroughly mixed. Quantum theory may be the product of an earlier heat death that occurred at the level of the hidden variables. Our quantum universe is the phoenix that rose from those ashes. In other hidden variables theories, the particles we see aren't the true particles, but the collective effects of finer building blocks. The randomness has a different source than in Bohmian mechanics. One possible source is space-time foam, the supposed froth of evanescent black holes at the microscopic level. By chewing up information, the holes could throw a wrench into particle processes and make them unpredictable. Another source could be non-locality, links between points in space. Through these links, a particle could get buffeted by events halfway across the universe. If we aren't hip to these links, the particle seems to jiggle around for no good reason. In this case, quantum theory is random because it's Procrustean. It chops off those non-local links and leaves the loose ends dangling haphazardly. Or the funky behavior of quantum theory may arise because the underlying particles have an unseen dimension of space to play in. These ideas are controversial. Most physicists think that quantum theory isn't hiding anything. If the theory says a particle doesn't have both a precise velocity and a precise position, that's because the particle doesn't have them. Period. Even if hidden variables don't account for the entire structure of quantum theory, gravitational effects might help explain one puzzling aspect of quantum theory: why particles can come to a fork in the road and take it, whereas people have to choose one path or the other. The randomness arising from non-locality or space-time foam might be what forces us to make the choice among the possibilities open to us. This randomness has only a sporadic effect, so a lone particle can evade it for billions of years. But our bodies contain gazillions of particles. Every second, one or another of them gets pinged by non-locality or space-time foam. This pinpoints its, and therefore our, location among the multiple possibilities. Gravity might have other ways of forcing an object to decide among its multiple possible locations. If an object is in two places at once, its two apparitions gravitationally interact. Such an interaction involves energy. Since everything acts to minimize its energy, the system tends to settle into one location or the other. Subatomic particles take a long time to do so because their gravity is so weak, whereas people do so quickly. If gravity plays a role in making quantum theory what it is, the theory might break down near black holes or in the early universe. effects now considered forbidden, such as faster-than-light transmission of signals, might become possible. It's a long shot, but not crackpot. For philosophy. Over the past few years, string theorists have been branching out in directions that are fairly new for them. On the nitty-gritty side, they've sought to make contact with experiment by preparing testable predictions for the Large Hadron Collider, astronomical observatories, and other instruments. On the theoretical side, some of them have even sought to make contact with philosophical thinking. Loop theorists have long taken an interest in philosophy, while particle and string theorists have thought of it as woolly. Nonetheless, I've spotted philosophers at recent string conferences. Historically, the greatest difficulty in scientific revolutions is usually not the missing piece, but the extraneous one, the assumption that we've all taken for granted but is actually unnecessary. Philosophers are trained to smoke out these mental interlopers. Many of the problems that scientists now face are simply the latest guise of deep questions that have troubled thinkers for thousands of years. Philosophers bring this depth of experience with them. Many have backgrounds in physics as well. On questions concerning the nature of time and the foundations of quantum theory, academic philosophers have done at least as much work as physicists. They have flagged issues that need to be studied better, such as whether the concept of a law of nature even makes sense. They have also done some thinking about what an ultimate theory will look like. The principles of such a theory will have to differ from the usual sort of explanation, which justifies something in terms of something else. A theory of everything won't have anything else. It will probably have to be self-referential, somehow incorporating its own explanation. As philosopher Richard Healy of the University of Arizona puts it, philosophers can act as the intellectual conscience of the practicing physicist. Life would be boring if we always listened to our conscience. Much can be said for serendipity and stumbling across things we didn't expect. Experiment is still the final guide and arbiter. But picking apart the knot of problems at the roots of nature will take a wide variety of intellectual skills. The comprehensibility of the cosmos. The success of physics is in its failure. The basic equations abandon all hope of explaining the world in its full complexity. Physics students learn to understand the laws of motion by temporarily ignoring friction, air resistance, and extenuating circumstances such as different starting points and times. By not getting mired in details, the laws manage to capture the basic essence from which all else emerges. Remarkably, the world is built in a way that rewards selective ignorance. Physicists often marvel that they can figure anything out at all. They get the distinct impression that ideas await discovery in exactly the same way as a new ice cream shop on the corner. This feeling is even stronger in string theory than in other theories because it did not grow out of a strong vision. The vision is something to be gleaned by exploring the theory. The hierarchy of scales, the concept of locality, the distinction between cause and effect, and the principle of symmetry let us understand the universe one piece at a time. We're not confronted with the fearsome task of taking it in all at once. The features that make the universe understandable may be the ones from which it springs to begin with. The fact the universe is comprehensible in pieces will help us to comprehend it as a whole. The least you need to know. Quantum gravity is clearly missing some essential elements. Some physicists think that the different approaches, such as string theory and loop gravity, might plug one another's gaps. Physicists' cluelessness about the true nature of time hampers their efforts to understand quantum gravity. Physicists might need to modify or generalize quantum theory to get it to fit with general relativity. This concludes the reading of The Complete Idiot's Guide to String Theory by George Musser. Copyright 2008 by George Musser. This book was read by Ray Porter. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with Alpha Books, an imprint of Penguin Group USA Incorporated, and was produced in 2009 by Blackstone Audio Inc., which holds the copyright.